Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that's part of this complete breakfast. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope...
The Scope answers your questions, we opine on the latest from Doves, and Adam attacks Shane on camera because he thought he was a zombie. Boy, what a lame reason.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
And we are back with episode 70. That's 7-0 of The Scope. They're laughing at us.
Of course they are. We're funny people.
The crowd does not go with us. They're laughing because, but much to their amazement and probably disdain.
This is a really good segue.
Wow, here we know Adam is back. It is the third year anniversary of The Scope. We've gone on for 3 years. We are now moving into, that's a better response, moving into year four. Who would have thunk it that we would have made it this long intact? I for sure thought Adam would have been out in about a year.
I tried.
Maybe he keeps trying, but we pull him back in.
I mean, technically, I'm not here. This is that robot voice you guys keep using.
What? You're much more easy to understand.
What are you talking about?
Did you listen to the last episode?
I did not. Well, I mean, in reality, when I do listen to the episodes, it's just to hear my own voice.
So. Very nice. So, speaking of, I'm going from a segue into another segue. I thought of this on the way over, Adam. Our last episode was episode 69. It was the sexy story.
Yes.
Episode.
That's why I skipped it. That's embarrassed.
Well, guess what, my friend? A little embarrassment coming for you in a minute. That is the episode that we learned that Jared lost his virginity at the age of 27.
No,
lost my virginity at the age of 15 to a supermodel.
Wow.
Since you didn't.
That's a weird embarrassing story.
Things you miss out on.
It was embarrassing because I probably could have scored younger than that.
It was Kathy Ireland. Seeing her now, it's kind of embarrassing.
Well, it was a long time ago. I'm 100 years old. That's so. Right. So, Adam, we're going to give you an opportunity to talk a little, maybe share one of your embarrassing stories since you weren't here. Anything you'd like to talk about that maybe you would have gone into if you would have been here on that sexy Scope episode?
I don't really have any embarrassing stories. One time I got poop on me. I mean, that's probably, I'm not going to go into details.
Was it involved in a sexual thing?
There was no butt sex going on. It's just, so. That happened.
Wow, I think that trumps both of us, Shane.
I've never got poop on me.
Yeah, I've never.
It wasn't my child's poop from changing a diaper.
So that's not a pleasant experience.
Occasionally there's a nasty smell, but, you know, that's to happen. You know, you're monkeying around with bodies and...
You're monkeying around with bodies.
I don't know. Yes, I don't want to know what you're into. It's grosser than
that's
the
very
poop part
gross.
Now.
No.
Yeah. So
the age in which you
lost it,
deceded yourself, or reseeded?
17.
17.
Wow.
Wow. So you trump us all.
Oh, you were 15.
No, I was actually 18. Oh, okay. Just turned 18 within weeks of being 18 years old. So, well, congratulations.
I hope congratulations, 17-year-old Adam.
I hope he was special.
Good on you.
Did you say I hope he was special?
I did say that.
No one, I think that was missed. So I'm just bringing light back to that joke in case anyone there missed it.
I thought it was great. It was a great episode. I'm still embarrassed by it myself.
Why? Was it the fanfic?
Was
John Norton talking, making sexy stories about the two of us?
He hit on all cylinders, Adam.
Shane, he has another one in the works, I understand.
Oh, no. I hope it involves Adam and not me.
I believe it was inspired by my a term I put on the Twitters, Man Nirvana.
Monkeying around?
No.
monkeying around with body parts.
Well, I'm sure I'm just giving him all kinds of fuel now.
Very good. Well, I look forward to hearing his fanfic. He might actually be on our next show, by the way. So start setting up some landlines.
Okay. Do we need to get a plane for him or something?
Yeah. Well, we're going to be dipping into the Scope budget. Did you know about that, Adam? We've got a Scope budget.
Oh, nice.
So another segue here.
Is this about the puma?
This is about.
Because see that Segway,
I got GM. It. The two wheeled or whatever it is.
You ever ridden a Segway? I never have.
I've seen them in Mexico. People
I've
riding around
seen
the boardwalks
them at the Mall of America on those tours throughout Minneapolis. You never seen the tours?
I don't know if I've ever seen the
there's
Minneapolis.
There's a Segway Minneapolis Segway tour.
Wow!
And so you'll see 15 people in a row riding around them, looking silly,
looking like douchebags riding across bridges and
with a helmet on.
Yeah. circling the Mary Tyler Moore statue at Nicolette Mall or Nicolette. So this past week, Adam, I spent a little time watching. I'm about a week behind on this, but I watched the last episode of ER.
Okay.
And I want to talk a little bit about that. I've been a little nostalgic.
This is nap time for me.
For the whole audience.
Well, maybe I'm just curious about because okay. I think it's a seminal show. You may not have watched it, but I think that it changed the way television represented dramas.
It certainly increased the number of medical dramas for a good decade.
It did. But Chicago Hope came out the same year, I believe, and that was supposed to be the show.
Just like Bugs and Ant Life.
Exactly. Chicago Hope was supposed to be the show that everyone was going to watch, and it never quite did it. But I'm
East Coast bias.
I'm just it's always an East Coast bias, isn't it?
Doesn't ER take place in Chicago as well?
Yeah.
That's true. But I want to know, Adam, since we've never talked about it, did you ever watch ER?
I think the only episode I ever watched more than, one commercial-to-commercial break on was the live episode.
That was the thing that was supposed to show how talented they were.
Yeah.
I don't really know. I don't really know what the point of it was other than it was a, coming up on a very special ER.
I think it was around the time. Remember when
Sweep
Rock?
Sweep stunt, yeah.
Remember when Rock, the last season of Rock, the Fox show, like it became Rock Live and every episode was live?
Yeah, it was like a play.
Because there were these seasoned theater actors and like, let's just do it for fun.
Yeah.
Everyone always tuned in to see if they would make mistakes. They weren't excited about the live thing. They were just ready for them to mess up and laugh at them because
what they had to do is do it twice because they had to do it for the East Coast and then the West Coast.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. Not if you're a theater actor.
Then they can do it.
It's like breathing for them.
I never watched a full episode.
Really?
It wasn't one of those like I'm too cool for it things. I mean, I like Friends. I like shows that aren't.
Are we talking ER again?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was actually going to look up. Like, I think ER came out in 1994.
I remember the big campaign at Toys R Us where the NBC had all those big banners and stuff.
I don't remember that.
Really? It was when ER and Friends and then a bunch of other shows, but it was their big fall push. And yeah, and they had
action figures?
It was just for some reason they were advertising in Toys R Us stores.
How random.
And they had big posters hanging from the ceiling up in the front section, whatever that was called. You don't remember that? I can remember taking home, I think, the Friends and ER. Maybe was there a show with Jonathan Silverman too, maybe?
Yes.
The single guy.
I think I remember taking those posters home because that was when Mike and I lived together and having them in the apartment there for a while.
Wow. Were they a pain in the ass to hang up? Was that
It was an overnight thing. You had to get up there with the aircraft cable and
Speaking of posters, did Earl ever give one of you guys the poster for I Love You Man that I'm supposed to get or the life size, whatever that was?
Oh, no.
He didn't, but we can...
All right, it's okay.
We can ask him. He'll be coming over tonight.
Will he?
Yeah,
Is he invited tonight?
He's invited. I haven't heard a confirmation. I haven't seen a confirmation from him.
Okay,
well, we'll get an update.
So actually, but I was thinking about the 1994 television season for NBC and talk about heavy hitters. I mean, they had honestly, The Single Guy could be one of the greatest shows in the history of television. But that was the year that Friends.
I liked that show.
I never really liked it.
Boston Commons, I think, may have been on at that time.
I don't remember all the shows. I was going to look up and see if there were three good sitcoms and one bad one, or if it was two bad sitcoms.
Thursday nights, or
yeah, but I mean, it was anchored by Friends, and then they had Seinfeld was in that time.
Oh, right.
Seinfeld wasn't as big yet. Though,
it wasn't. Right? It was before Seinfeld blew up, and then they had ER at the end, anchoring at the 9 or 10 o'clock spot, depending upon where you were watching it. But
so
I mean,
Just Shoot Me may have been on.
I don't think Just Shoot Me was out yet. So,
but that 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central time slot of the ever revolving shows was definitely.
Yeah, they could never find a good follow. Yeah.
I mean,
follower for Friends.
At some point, Will and Grace came in there, but that was a few years later too.
Okay. I guess Earl is confirmed. By the way, Earl is confirmed.
Earl is confirmed. Everyone,
update.
And I don't know if. You know what it was? I think Mad About You was in
the 9:30.
Was in like the 8:30 spot, 8:30, 9:30 spot for a couple of years until they moved it. So it was a really big night for.
Remember when Paul Reiser and what's her name got $1 million an episode for that
Helen
shitty
Hunt,
show?
Yeah, that was, you know, you can say what you want about ER, but I never watched Mad About You. I never got that show. I was a little young.
Thank you for permission on saying whatever I want about ER.
Thank you. You're very welcome. Well, I guess I don't really have a point about ER because I was hoping that one of you guys would have watched it. Jared watched it with me a little bit.
I have a TV update.
Go ahead.
I started watching for a couple seasons.
I started watching Attack of the Clones.
finally, we can talk about that.
Clone Wars.
The
cartoon?
Clone Wars. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, the Clone Wars cartoon.
And what is your take on it?
It's actually okay. First off, watching them in HD, the animation on that show is ridiculous.
Are you watching it in HD?
I am downloading the HD episodes.
Oh, okay. Because I've never seen one in HD.
I don't know if we have Cartoon Network HD.
We do not.
Here.
Okay. It is not in the Comcast system.
It is on DirecTV. So. But anyway, I'm downloading them anyway, so I have the whole season in HD if you'd like it.
Okay, well.
Legally, somehow.
he's got that magic pass.
So, it's phenomenal. I'm annoyed with the droids. The droids are terrible comic relief.
How far into the season are you?
11, episode 10, 11.
I think they tone the droids down over time.
Sure.
I mean, the first few episodes, I was like,
The one I just finished was the one where they get, there's like two or three in a row where they're like kidnapped by these like piratey guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then right after that, they go and they land on that peaceful world where the guys don't want to fight back.
Right.
And what's his name? Star Trek guy.
Spock.
No, the voice, the Asian
George
guy.
Takei.
George Takei.
Oh my.
Yeah. Oh my.
Here comes a silver droid.
Does the voice.
Gold this entire planet for myself.
Yeah.
Golden droid.
That guy. Mm. And the bad guys are just, the bad guys are ridiculous.
They are.
But here's the thing. I can't understand like the age range that the show is for because lots of humanoids die.
Yeah, they get their heads chopped off.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of heads being chopped off.
It's not your G.I. Joe of old where the only people that died were the bats, the robots.
I think more people are dying on screen in that cartoon than the dude
on
the movies.
On movies, I agree.
Probably, yeah.
So it's rough, and I'm like, I mean, I realize it's a primetime show. Like it's like an 8 o'clock type show.
Yep. Yeah.
But it's still on Cartoon Network.
And kids love Star Wars.
But so I'm like, well, why are you doing so much comic relief that's obviously aimed at little kids, where at the same time you're killing people? So it's just this weird disconnect where, like, I don't know. I feel like it's almost like two teams were involved in the making of it. But anyway, I'm interested. I'm interested to see like where it goes because I would assume it's going to show the development. It's multiple seasons, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I assume it's going to be a development of a few things where, you know, with Anakin and all that, but I don't really care about that as much. The central story, I guess. It's just kind of cool.
Yeah, I think they do a good job of putting that whole political nonsense in perspective, and they just get to the cool shit. And the last couple episodes have some really awesome sequences that I was impressed by. So
it makes you wonder why this didn't get covered in the films. I mean, it's like this seems like it's much more compelling than the build up to the war and the aftermath of the war.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that was the intention all along, that they were going to go back and fill it in with the show, but you know, it's in the movies, they just leave it all the cool stuff.
Yeah.
That's really what happens. They leave it all the cool stuff.
I'm also watching the riff tracks of all the Star Wars episodes, and those are really, really good. So, riff tracks, for anyone that doesn't know, is the couple of the guys from MST3K.
Seems like everybody from MST3K is doing some sort of riffy tracks now.
Yeah. Riffy tracks.
Riff tracks.
Monkeying around with
Cinematic
bodies.
Titanic.
Right.
There's a third one.
There's a third one, yeah.
I forget what it is.
Why don't they just go back and start doing MST3K again? Enough with it. You know, they've all been away from it a long enough time where they can come back and have a new perspective and do it again.
Well, the Cinematic Titanic guys are going to be at Convergence this summer. So.
Ooh, we'll have to
get it. Since it's the funnier side of sci-fi.
Should we get a Scopetastic, Scopeexclusive interview with these guys?
If we can somehow arrange it, that'd be pretty cool.
I think. My people run their business, so...
and we're going to tap into the underground movement, or maybe not so underground movement, of his people.
His people.
Well, Adam, we are happy to have you back for episode 70. Thank you for embarrassing yourself so much with all those sexy stories. I think you would have added a lot to the last episode.
I'm glad I wasn't here.
No doubt about that. Today, as promised for a long, long time, we are taking questions from the audience. So we've got a bunch.
Thanks for only sending two, jerks. We've made up our own.
A bunch of emails from people.
You know who you are.
With questions that want to know things about how we put the show together, how we are, how we get along, how we are as people, all that sort of stuff.
I hope you're organized because I don't remember
anyone. Who's biggest?
I've got who is biggest. That would be me.
Obviously. We're going to do an on-air measuring, I think, right?
Never been done before. yes. And from there.
And we're going to Twitter about it.
Yes. Twat. We're going to twat about it.
With our dongs. So that's cool.
And our new Blackberries.
Our dongs. Thank God we got that iPod touchscreen going on right there.
Exactly.
We're also going to be reviewing a album from the band Doves. Not the Doves. Doves. Kingdom of Rust. They are a hip little band out of the UK. And as well, we'll be covering news. Adam's going to be doing his usual segment. I hope he's come prepared, because last week I feel like we knocked it out of the park. I'm just saying, I felt like we knocked it.
And the ball is still soaring.
It's still going. It never landed, Adam.
Wow.
So get ready to bring it. So episode 70 of The Scope pushes on right after this.
Once again, it's time for another edition of The Scope, female genitalia euphemism of the day. Today's euphemism is the silk igloo. That was the scope, female genitalia euphemism of the day. Now, back to the show.
Once again, we are back. The Scope episode 70 pushes on. I'm calling this bit listeners. Pick the show. I don't know what that means, but that's what I typed up last night at about 11:35.
Don't title things so late at night anymore.
Well, you should talk. You probably knocked that news out about 1 a.m. this morning.
I totally did it while I was on the road in Kentucky.
I'm trying to think if I was cleaning the bathroom at that time or if I was monkeying around with CSS code.
Monkeying with bodies.
Jared's doing a lot of monkeying around. Write that down, Jared. I think we're coming back to that. Some sort of monkeying around needs to be in this show title.
Okay.
That's our Easter egg. So we've been talking for weeks about listeners sending in questions, begging us to talk about ourselves, and it's been... I would say so-so. The response has been so-so. But, you know, we've got enough things to talk about, Adam. That's all that's important. And actually, we're not making up any of these questions. These are all real listener-submitted questions, Adam.
Yeah, well, we listen to the show, so when we...
Well, you don't even listen to the show, well. So I don't know what to say about that. Are we ready? I've got a bunch of questions here. I have organized them in a proper manner, and we're going to get to it right now.
Are we?
Luke Ski... The great Luke Ski. I refuse to call him that because...
You just did.
Platitudes, and I did. You got me. He asks, what movies have you never seen that you think the other Scope hosts would be shocked to find out you've never seen?
Oh, my.
Some examples of films Luke's never seen: Jaws, Dirty Dancing, Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai, Star Wars, Star Trek.
Wait, Luke's never seen Star Wars?
Planet of the Apes, The Matrix.
Right.
Lord of the Rings. He's never seen any of these movies.
The entire Pixar catalog.
But he writes parody songs about them. I don't understand it.
I'm shocked to find that.
His whole career is based on these movies, and
I like
he's
that
never seen them.
Everything he knows about Darth Vader is from those Burger King commercials from a few years ago.
That's what it is. I think he has a parody song about the stormtrooper firing the laser gun into the grill, you know, to get it started.
Everything I know about Darth Vader is what I've learned by following him on Twitter.
Oh, that's right. Darth Vader is on Twitter.
This is all about... I'm going to put as many Twitter references as I can into the show.
People love that.
Everybody is talking about Twitter. All the media is talking about Twitter.
Facebook is gone.
Twitter.
Monkeying around with Twitter. Adam, so let me throw this to you. You are... I mean, we know you're Jewish, so there's got to be some movies that you've crossed off your list because they're not kosher.
Fiddler on the Roof.
I've never seen Fiddler on the Roof.
Yentl? Have you seen Yentl?
Never seen Yentl.
You're a traitor to your people.
What about pie?
What's that old one that they made back in the day that showed the Ku Klux Klan being like a big
heroes? Oh, A Birth of a Nation.
A Birth of a Nation. I've never seen that.
Neither have I.
Citizen Kane? I mean, that's kind of a big...
I have that on DVD. Never seen it.
That is kind of a shocker.
Never seen
You've
it.
Never seen it either?
I have it on DVD. Never seen
wow.
it.
Wow.
It's always been on my list, my to-do list.
This is genuine shock.
That's on my bucket list.
Wow. It's on my fucket list.
You got a monkey around with that bucket. Have you seen Jaws?
I have seen
have
Jaws.
Have you seen Dirty Dancing?
I've seen Dirty Dancing.
Have you seen The Adventures
I've
of
Buckaroo? I've never seen
Buckaroo. I've never seen that. I've always felt like that movie was overrated.
I never...
Just by what I knew about it. But
I don't think that's a feeling. I think that's the truth. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't like the film and appreciate it for what it is, but I don't think it's as good as people make it out to be.
Gotcha. A movie that I've never seen that I know was...
Cautious Optimist and Diplomat. That's me.
I like it. I've never seen a movie, the movie A Few Good Men.
Okay.
That's really? One that people always
you can't
are surprised.
Handle the truth, Shane.
I can't handle it. I just never... There was a time for me where I didn't... A lot of movies I just didn't see. I wasn't into movies that much, and I didn't really...
Oh, the third Austin Powers. I never saw that.
That's the second best Austin Powers.
Wow. All right.
Which isn't saying much, because the first one is the only worthy one, in my opinion. Jared, what about you? Jaws? Have you seen all of the Jaws movies?
I don't know if I've seen them all.
Jaws 1, Jaws
1, 2. 1, 2, 3 for sure. I don't
Revenge.
Think I, maybe I saw the Revenge.
Jaws 3D.
Remember.
I saw Jaws 3D in the theater.
A lot of the movies that for me that I haven't seen that would surprise people are kind of like early 80s stuff. Like
Krull? Have you seen Krull?
No.
What?
Never saw Krull.
If you listen quietly, you can hear Earl screaming in agony.
Stuff like a Christmas Story. Everyone talks about A Christmas Story. I've never seen it.
Didn't you watch that with us?
Nope.
You know, my wife watched that for the first time like 2 years ago. I sat her down and made her watch that movie.
There's a couple that I could have listed, but I have recently seen them. That would be Stripes and Strange Brew. But I had never, previously, like the last 6 months, I had not seen them.
Have you guys both seen Caddyshack?
Yes.
I've seen Caddyshack, and I think I've seen Caddyshack too.
I think. But you can add up more comedies like Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Animal House, those things. Never saw.
I never saw Animal
Breakfast,
House.
Have you seen the entire John Hughes collection, Breakfast Club?
Probably
16 Candles. Yeah.
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Oh, Pretty in Pink. I don't think I ever saw Pretty in Pink.
That was not directed by him. So
whatever.
Produced. Yeah, written by him.
Never saw it. It was a big deal.
It was. Say Anything. I watched for the first time not too long ago, Adam.
Wow. There you go.
So there's our
Police
list.
Academy, the whole Police Academy series?
The first three, probably. Citizens on Patrol. I mean, I knew once the
Citizens. Assignment Miami Beach. Come on.
Once the Citizens were brought in, we knew there was trouble. Oh, my goodness. Moving on. this seems to be a common theme with our listener-submitted questions.
Moving on.
Bishop asks, why does Adam sound like he holds everything in great disdain?
I just talked about movies that I like.
Wow. I think even that had some disdain.
Are you as angry,
he's
angry, Adam?
He's angry at the question.
Is it a scope? Is this the character you bring into the scope?
Is this a theme? Like a lot of people want
another. Oh, let me dig back into some more.
You don't
questions.
Have to. Seventy-four
listeners have submitted the same question.
Yeah,
another very strange.
Another question from Kelly asks, Adam, if you even show up for episode 70, awesome. Why are you so surly and bitter all the time? Have you always been angry at the world, or does some great trauma from your childhood haunt you to this day and cause your disdain? Disdain is the common word.
Amazing.
For, well, everything.
You know what? You know what's funny about this? So I cheated. I definitely saw, I don't think Kelly's, I think I saw Bishop's.
And so you killed Bishop?
He's got a reasoned response, though.
He's thought about this.
So, well, I was trying to figure out a funny way to put this. I mean, I assume everyone knew it's just me trying to, you know, bring something different to the show. I'm not really, I mean.
But what if my wife sometimes thinks that you're a little grouchy?
Well, I am grouchy. It's because most things are terrible and suck, and I think I'm better than most people. But, I mean, other than that.
I'm glad you didn't invite him to the Rock Band party tonight.
I was invited to the Rock Band party.
Damn it, dear. That was a bad move.
Was it?
No. Yeah. I mean, I'm
probably just hold it in disdain.
I'm a little perplexed that people don't understand that it's not meant to be taken seriously. We're doing a podcast. Like,
yeah. Everything's...
You're shattering the illusion, Adam.
Well, that's why I'm hesitating to say that. But.
Well, luckily not that many people listen, so it'll be...
Right.
When they do tune in, the Adam that we know and love on the show.
They won't go back to this episode, hopefully, the new people, and then they'll just continue to think I'm just this mean asshole of a man.
Adam is kind of like Simon Cowell, you know?
I don't think I'm anything like Simon Cowell.
As he's rubbing his boobs, his man boobs.
But no, you're right. I mean, he's got, if he doesn't like something, he's going to say it. He's not going to, you know,
look,
qualify it
Adam,
anyway.
Adam, let me ask you this. Do you self-censor yourself where sometimes something happens and you're
wait, is that a masturbation reference?
He's monkeying around with himself. So, no, where you actually, in circumstances, you won't say what you're thinking, or, you know, somebody says, hey, I just watched the latest episode of Lipstick Jungle, and that's the greatest thing ever. You know, you probably want to jump across the table and punch him in the face. Do you quiet yourself? I mean, do you have more moments like that or less?
When I'm, you mean on the show or in real life?
Just in real life.
IRL. There's definitely times IRL. Where I don't say what I'm thinking, because just as a for instance, when I first started working at my current job, we were having lunch one day, and this one girl that I've since come to think is relatively funny, was talking about how great she thought Nicolas Cage movies were. Like, like Ghostface Killer. The motorcycle one.
Ghost in the Shell.
Ghost in the Shell.
Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider. And the National Lampoon's Adventure, National Treasure movies.
Yeah.
Those aren't as bad as you think.
They're pretty bad, though. Yeah. I mean, to watch them.
They're kind of fun. They are what they are. Anyway.
You know what? Never the other day, I had the choice of going to see Taken or Knowing, and I almost went to go see Knowing because I knew how bad it would be, and I thought it would be pretty funny, but I went to see Taken.
I'd rather
see
that.
I want to see Taken.
It was really good. I was kind of surprised. I mean, very simple, but anyway. I definitely don't you know, speak my mind all the time. But also on this show, like, there's times where we all have the same opinion. But, I mean, that's boring. So yeah. I'll lie and say that I disagree.
But don't ever tell me when you're lying.
All right.
I like it. I like it when Adam comes in and just brings in the opposite opinion.
Yeah.
Just to make the show better, Jared. I think that's a sign of a true podcasting genius.
I just wish he'd have a drug habit. That'd be more interesting.
All right. I'll work on that one.
Okay. Bring that into it. So there you go. Adam not as grouchy, but yet still grouchy.
Yeah. There we go.
Keith F.
Irvin.
From Topeka, Kansas says, woo! I don't know if he's from that, but I'm just going to give them locations because it's more fun when you do it that way.
It is.
This is more of a comment, Jared.
Yeah.
After listening to episode 6, so yeah. Keith dug deep.
Wow.
Holy cow. I hope your ears aren't bleeding.
I would really like to hear Shane and Jared play Hit the Post again.
Ooh. Was that 6?
Well, we did it a couple times.
But 6? Was that long ago?
We did it that early.
Holy
cow. And it's one of our most beloved...
We peaked at 6.
All the ideas
came back at episode 30 or whatever the second time was, and ever since then...
It's been downhill.
And
we need to bring it back.
Keith, I think Keith might be from Minnesota. I think that's the Minnesota guy. Or...
Minnesota, Kansas?
Yeah, Minnesota, Kansas City. Plus, bring back the random review. I've been working on Jared for this for weeks, and he's...
I was going to get to it Friday, but I got really busy at work, so I couldn't spend any time on it.
Okay, bing, 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 bing.
Exactly. Zip. Adam could practically do it right here.
I can play the music. I'm just not going to do anything.
Oh, we're going to be watching...
It's like shows from last year on here.
We have to go back and watch canceled shows. That's pretty funny.
Let's see what comes up.
Jared, we're doing the random review right now.
Let's review it. Let's review the show that comes up. Hold on.
Yeah, we'll do our instant random review.
No, it's back to you on Fox Wednesdays at 7:30.
I don't know. Kelsey Grammer, TV genius, girlfriend's executive producer. What can this man not do?
I think this show has got a long life in it. It's probably going to be on the air for another 5 to 6 years.
I think
it's going to be one of their staple comedies.
I think picking two former sitcom stars that you clearly have to pay a ridiculous...
Who was the other one, Adam?
The lady from...
What's her name? Come on.
Everybody Hates Raymond.
What's her name, Jared?
I don't know.
I never watched it.
Patricia something.
Patricia Heaton.
There we go.
Or Heaton, I'm not
sure. I think picking two people that you obviously have to pay a ton of money to on for a Fox show, brilliant.
Brilliant move.
And how many sitcoms does Fox have?
Fox is known for...
Just like today.
Ones that are not animated?
Exactly. Right. Do they have any
right now? I don't think so.
No.
Right. Isn't that weird? It's American Idol, Fringe, and 24. Fringe is kind of a...
Dollhouse, still.
Fringe is a laugh. Sometimes a knee slapper. I think their last big hit...
Married with Children.
No, I think that 70s show.
Okay.
That's probably their last hit.
You're right.
And even that show went on a few years longer than it should have.
Yep.
So
that 80s show, though.
Wow,
you know
what's funny? This mock review actually turned into a real review.
We did. We did it. We're critiquing the Fox lineup.
That's why Fox.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there you go, Keith F.
Thank you, Keith F. Super listener Carrie asks, speaking of game shows, what Scope game do you think was a huge hit? And what game do you think was a huge flop? What game did not work?
Well, I mean, the obvious pick is World Series Pop Culture, but we ripped that off. So,
yeah, it was
we kind of ripped off all of our games.
Well, you know what? I still feel like Hit the Post may have been inspired by other things, but sure. I've never heard it done. I've actually heard it done after we've done it on other radio programs.
Trendsetters?
I'm not saying that the people at KDWB are listening to us, but I'm just saying they did the same thing.
I say that that's why we're not doing it anymore, by the way, because once KDWB does something, it's no longer
I will
cool.
not touch a bit that Dave Ryan has also done.
I will not touch a bitch that Dave Ryan has done either.
A bitch, huh?
I thought that's what you said.
The thing with Hit the Post is it's a lot of work because you have to find songs that have a long lead-in. So
and then
you
I have to do all the assembly and...
Yeah.
And then I have to, you know, pre-write all of my winning commentary.
Jared wins every time. He's putting it all together. So I think that was a success. I actually thought that when we did the match game, I thought that was
another match game.
That was a pretty good game.
Which one was that? Like who competed?
We had our moms in here.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes, we had all the music. Fun. We need to go back and do that one again. I think that was a good one. The game that was a failure. Let's see.
Is that the movie one? Maybe
there have been a few.
Okay,
the celebrity. I think the celebrity quote one was probably the worst.
Yeah, maybe if we
maybe not in concept, just in execution. In that
is that the one where
Adam and I didn't know? Right.
Yeah. If we do that, we have to have in like my wife and somebody else. Maybe
was
Mandy.
It multiple choice?
No,
that
it wasn't.
Would,
it wasn't
another way to
it was
make
kind
it
of. It was a celebrity quote, but then you could get you had the.
Oh, yeah.
You could ask questions about the quote.
Oh, it was like a name that.
Yeah, like a name that
type.
Too, and it was something like that. So you guys just aren't quite as tapped into the zeitgeist.
It was more of an exercise in gamesmanship, Shane.
It was. No. I think it just showed our podcasting chops by.
My favorite games are the ones where I have to compete against Jared and I win.
What games are those?
The ones where your family members say things and we have to guess what they're going to say, those if they're fun. Right or wrong.
Yeah, Jared gets crushed in those.
We still need to do the X Factor.
Yeah, that's a good one. Carrie asks, when you were little, who was your favorite superhero and why? Jared, favorite superhero?
That's a good question. I wasn't really into superheroes that much as a kid. I guess, I mean, everyone liked Superman. I mean, I guess there were plenty of occasions where I had my underwear outside my pants playing Superman.
For now, right now, for instance?
I want to go with Spider-Man simply because he was on the Electric Company and then there was that live action show in the 70s. So probably Spider-Man.
Adam?
I'm going to have to go with my mom.
Wow.
She's not listening. What did you do wrong to say that?
Mommy, I love you. Superheroes. I mean, G.I. Joe, I guess, in general, like the whole, I mean, I know they weren't superheroes, but like as a, you know, they were super and they were heroes. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, when I was little, I didn't like superheroes. I was a Star Wars guy, so I always wanted to be Luke Skywalker.
Me too. Yeah.
I didn't really get into any sort of superhero that much until probably the mid '80s, when I started reading G.I. Joe comics. Actually, that was early '80s, and then from there, I would pick up a random comic from time to time. And I was probably 1985 or so. I was on a family trip to Texas, and for some reason, we took a walk to the 7-Eleven. Myself and some of my cousins. And I just had a handful of money, and I bought a bunch of comics randomly. And the comic that I bought that still one of my favorite superheroes today is Longshot, who was a real minor mutant-type guy. He's not even a mutant, actually. But he ended up popping up in the X-Men a little bit later. But at the time, the artwork was really, really different and probably ushered in like the Jim Lee-type style, that sort of thing. Very detailed and dynamic, and I loved Longshot. Instantly, and I still do. So
I remember as a kid really disliking comic books because I really didn't like how the art looked then. I mean, there was this really long period of time where everything from X-Men to whatever else I picked up was just, I mean, this is
it looked the same sort of pedestrian, and the like, coloring was bad.
Things like Voltron just looked, and Thundercats like looked better to me, and like those are relatively basic, I think, as far as cartoons go, but
the inspiration is Japanese and it had a dynamic level to it.
That's why I didn't like comics for a really, really long time until I liked boobs and then I loved comics.
If we want to talk first comics or superheroes that we're into, that would, for me, that was Daredevil.
Really? Daredevil.
Yeah. I was weird, and how I picked it out is like I think I got a copy of like Marvel's Who or whatever, Who's Who, when they just put out those comics that had each page was a character.
Mm-hmm. I love those. Yes, I got the Marvel Universe. They're called.
Yeah, whatever it was. I got one of those.
It was called the Marvel Universe.
Wow. Don't deny. Okay, Shane, I'm glad you got your point in. Are you happy now?
It was Marvel Universe.
Okay, the DC one was Who's Who. How about that?
I think you're right.
Yes, thank you. Anyway, I got one of those at the local convenience store, and I was just looking through it, and I found the Daredevil one, and I must have found something in that description that I liked, so that became the first superhero comic that I read, and I read that one exclusively for a while.
Was that Frank? Was Frank Miller writing
it
at that
time? No, this is post-Frank Miller, but it was... right around the issue that Todd McFarlane did, if that pinpoints the time.
I don't even know, but yeah.
Yeah, this was back in his early days. I think this was before he even did Spider-Man.
Did it look like Todd McFarlane stuff?
I didn't really... looking back at it now, it looked like Todd McFarlane for sure, but I didn't really know who the hell Todd McFarlane was at the time.
I didn't like Daredevil until I read the Brian Bendis. They have it in a graphic novel now, and that's really good.
Read it because of that.
Yeah.
Very good stuff.
And this was, probably maybe a half year before John Romita Jr. took on the arts and, you know, kind of gave it that distinctive style that he has.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Marvel Universe and the Who's Who, I remember when I was in like fourth grade, one of my friends, Jeff, had the Marvel Universe encyclopedia type thing. Mm-hmm. It was like hardcover.
Is that the Marvel Universe Who's Who?
Thank you, Jared. You've made your point.
It's actually called Who's Who of the Marvel Universe. So they
mixed it together.
Yeah. Remember when Marvel and DC
Captain Batman, I think, was in there?
Wow. No, Captain Batica. And I remember just liking that way more than comics because like you found out like their origin stories and their powers and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was like, I mean,
it was heavy duty reading those things.
Yeah. And I really like that.
Speaking of that, talking about my Texas trip, that always used to be a special treat for me where I would get to go to Schindler's and buy one or two of those things. And my parents were, they were heavy duty road trippers, so we'd have to drive to Dallas, which was about 24 hours of a drive. And so I just read these things all the way down. But
they sat in the front seat shaking their heads at their nerds.
Oh, my dad hated that. He hated, like, "Dad, can I go to Schindler's and get some comics for the trip?" And he despised.
"Why don't I just get some Playboys?"
Yeah, that's about it. "Look at my son. Why aren't you into football?
You read this book on economics.
You're weak. Why don't you like hunting?"
"Get your guns and ammo."
That's about it, my friend.
Or what? I don't know. There's any hunting magazines out there.
"Why don't you like to stand there and hold the flashlight while I'm fixing the car?"
Flashlight Holders Monthly.
True story. Yeah, I don't want that magazine. But yeah, they probably had it at Schindler's at the time.
Yep, they had everything. Including Prince.
Jared.
Yes.
What is it about the scope that you enjoy doing?
That I enjoy doing?
Yeah, what is it about the scope that keeps you coming back year after year after year?
There's about 30 seconds after the start of the B block that I find pretty entertaining, but after that...
he likes pressing the post button when he's done with posting the podcast, right? And then he's happy for about 13 days.
I actually like the recording process itself, because that's where the fun and creativity starts. I mean, there's a lot of boring stuff in the beginning or before the show where you're just... I'm just assembling my audio assets and getting everything set up and ready to go, and then there's the boring post-processing stuff at the end, but it's that while we're doing it now, like right at this moment, answering your questions, that's the part I like the best.
The prep is never fun for the show. It all, you know, if we were getting paid for it, it might be, but sure. that's never that fun. I think for me, I think the fun thing is when we come up with a bit and we don't know if it's going to be good, and then it ends up being something that we just knock out of the park, where, you know, we probably get it once every 18 shows or so, where,
yeah,
where we have this synergistic moment in the show where everything is clicking and
I like it when
we're working well off of each other.
Yeah. I just like those random bits that happen that aren't planned.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the best.
Adam, your favorite.
We just started goofing on Adam during the news, and that just kind of became a thing.
I like yelling at Earl. And
yeah.
Oh, I
it's
like.
It's funny though that you guys agree on a lot of things.
I know, I hate it. and I like talking about how bitching about the show on my secret blog.
Oh,
scopeshowsucks.com.
I'm going there right now. I'm not. I don't have a computer. I can't. Unless I have a computer in my head, which I do. Okay, so let's keep going on. Oh, I like this question from Kelly. She says, "Jared and Shane, it seems like you guys have been friends for a long time. Have you ever had a huge fight a la Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie?"
They almost just did about the DC Marvel Universe.
I know, that's one
thing.
Yeah.
"That nearly destroyed your friendship forever. No need to go into details if the subject is too sensitive."
I don't know if we had a fight, but there was definitely that period.
There was a rift.
There was a rift.
Was it about a girl?
Sort of. It wasn't.
Don't talk about me that way, Adam.
This was about the time that I was first starting to go. I'm going to go into it if you don't mind.
Yeah, go right ahead. If I disagree, I will put the clamp down.
I started dating my ex-wife, and I hadn't had a girlfriend in many, many years, so I kind of just threw myself into it and didn't really pay much attention to my friends, and that caused some problems. Because I wasn't being very sensitive to what they wanted.
Bros before hoes, dude.
Right.
It was bros before hoes. Yeah,
pretty much.
It was a rough time, and I'll just say that, like, when you started dating her,
yeah,
Jared didn't even tell us. It just kind of happened.
They were
like, "What the heck is going on here?"
I mean, that's just me. I have issues communicating. Yeah. Huge change in my life, so it's like, oh, I'm suddenly dating someone, huh?
Jared and I have overcome that by having sex often now. Yeah. So
with each other?
of course.
It's
pillow talk is what it is.
Weird.
Didn't you hear the fanfic from last show?
That's how you mend a breaking heart or broken heart, whatever.
But yeah,
that caused problems to the point where when Angie and I started dating, there was big concern that I was going to do that again, and I made sure that that didn't happen. So
he made sure.
By kicking her to the curb.
No. Let's just say that Andy fits into my life, both personally and in my peer group, much, much better than the other person.
I would concur with that. Yeah, that probably went on for a year, would be my guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a long time. It was a slow process, and then we sort of had a come to Jesus, but we all sort of had a conversation and sat down and at the time, and we kind of work through it, I guess, as best as we could.
Yeah. So it wasn't like a big fight, but there was definitely that, as you say, the rift.
Yeah. I think that it could have been handled better by myself if I just would have said something to Jared. I was sort of waiting for him to do something, and then I don't know if you were waiting for me to do something or you didn't care. By do something, I mean sort of just bring up the bring it up and be a topic of conversation.
I don't know. I think I just didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah. And then so I didn't, and then it just went on and on and on and on. And eventually we talked about it and worked it out as best we could. And then, yeah.
Yeah.
So it went on.
And then we came up with the scope.
No.
We came just like up that. With the scope.
The
Born
end.
From pain.
The end. Yes. And now I can tell you, Adam, with the Supreme.
We still have a rift going on.
We
you
do.
Guys.
I will say
that feud's still going on.
I will say this, that if I ever have a problem with Jared, and I hope if he ever has a problem with me, it is brought up immediately, because we're too old to be doing that sort of silliness.
And how long have we known each other? At least 15 years, isn't
at
it?
At least 15, well, longer than 15 years.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. I'm just trying to think about...
Shane got really mad when you put it only at 15. This is going to cause another fight.
Yeah, Jared.
Sorry. I'm not sure exactly when we when we started hanging out.
Yeah, it was probably
we knew each other before that, obviously.
Yeah, it was less than 15 years ago, but it was kind of in that... As a matter of fact, you start talking about ER. That was about the time when ER came out that I started hanging out with a lot of my Toys R Us friends more than I had before. So.
Who approached whom the first time you hung out?
I don't know.
Who asked who to go on a mandate?
I don't remember. That's a good question. I think that we had these...
Take us back to Toys R Us. You guys have your Toys R Us smocks on.
We do. Jared actually never wore a smock because he was a department head.
And then they introduced... So Jared... At some point, they introduced the polo shirt, and that's what I moved to.
I remember my first real conversation with Jared at Toys R Us, and it was in the back security area with video games, and we were just talking about video games.
And what was your opinion of Jared
pants
coming
were
away
down.
From that?
Well, I think we've told the story before.
What a dick. Was that?
Yeah.
We've told the story on
the
show. We've told the story before on the show, Adam, but I'll go into it again.
Right.
Jared was not,
skip it.
Jared was not
it.
Liked very well at Toys R Us because I don't know if this is true, but the impression was that he got the job because of one of the managers
sleeping around.
Oh, it's absolutely true.
One of the managers knew your dad or something. I don't know.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, Jared got this department head, which is a step above peon, like I was.
Right. $7.50 an hour instead of $6.50 an hour,
pretty much.
So people were really hesitant about Jared, and he was kind of a quiet guy. So
I was thrown into there and I didn't know what the hell I was doing, and nobody was training me. I'm like, what?
So yeah, I think it took a little while for
it sucked
for Jared just kind of warm up to everybody.
I used to have that same problem that Jared did in workplaces where people didn't know about me because I was just kind of quiet and kind of kept my head down. And first time you go to the bar and you whip your dick out on the table, people know they know what you're all about at that point. So
I was a little young for the bar scene.
That's just my tip to the kids.
Very good. Yeah, Jared was kind of thrown into an interesting situation because. And I don't know if this is the way it is in jobs now, but there was a really close-knit group of people that hung out at that Toys R Us, and it was very, I don't want to say clicky, but just people were very friendly, and to this day, I still hang out with a lot of those people. So
I think I had to wait for some of the older ones to transition out.
To die.
To leave.
Yeah.
Jared killed them.
And then that's kind of when I started getting, and I also...
That was Jared's time to shine.
No, and I also attribute it to when Betsy came on as a manager. She kind of really made a point to that, we're gonna work on this.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She kind of became my mentor, I suppose. I don't know.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Betsy. So one last question, and this is actually, it's directed towards Earl, but I want to throw this out there because I'm just curious what you guys think. But
who does the best Earl impression?
I don't know. This question, it's Earl. Earl, I don't know if you're a Trekkie or if we've already discussed this on the show, but how do you feel about the J.J. Abrams rebooting, reimagining of the Star Trek franchise?
I think you've answered your question right.
Is he as villainous as Michael Bay?
Yes. I'm sure he is. It's a reboot. It's a reimagine.
We've got to talk to Earl about this tonight.
Did you guys hear about what happened in Austin?
We can record it, too.
In Austin this past week?
Yeah, yeah.
With Leonard Nimoy and everything, and the Trekkies freaking out and all that shit.
Oh, they're freaking out?
Like they
in a good
it.
Way?
Like, yeah, in a good way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They
were
screening
crying.
Of it. They were...
There was a secret surprise
there was a lot of geek-gasm
screening
going on.
Of the new Star Trek movie with Harry Knowles at his theater of choice, right? And everybody
Austin,
came. Leonard Nimoy
right.
came.
They're doing
Nimoy.
A midnight showing. I guess they probably
They were supposed to do Wrath of Khan. Right? And they were going
to
show about 10 minutes of the new Star Trek movie.
Yeah, but the same that they had at Comic-Con, the same 10 minutes. But right, Leonard Nimoy showed up and he was like, "Nope, you guys aren't going to see Wrath of Khan. You're going to see, and you win a new car and all that.
And you get a car. Right. You get a car."
That's, I think,
Oprah.
I just ripped off
a subscription to Omen.
I totally ripped off a podcast that I listened to. I don't remember which one.
That's okay.
Anyway, so they got to see that, and they were all of the nerds were freaking out, and I say nerds because if you go to see Wrath of Khan at the movie theater,
and that movie came out in like 92 or 82.
Yeah,
so that's a long time ago.
It's still decent. I don't think it's as good as people remember.
Thing goes in the ear. I hate that.
Creepy.
Yeah. The only thing I remember about that movie.
I like the whales, but maybe if I go back and watch it.
That was four, but whatever.
I know. No, that's what I'm saying. Oh, I like the whale movie.
So yeah, they saw it and they loved it. They were crying. They said it was better than Wrath of Khan.
Around.
Some said it was the best since Wrath of Khan. The competition, though, since Wrath of Khan, it's not like it's that difficult.
No.
But yeah, so I mean, that's different from what I was hearing before, that it was disappointing and it was this kind of this big mess of too many things going on. Now, if you watch the trailer looks awesome.
It looks like a kick ass movie, doesn't
it? Right? Yeah, that I think that but you watch it and you're like, there's like 50 things that just happened in that.
Yeah, how do you put all this together? Trailer.
So I could kind of see that, but I mean, you know, I don't know, look cool.
J.J. Abrams can handle dense material. Yeah.
See, I liked Mission Impossible 3. So
I did too.
I never saw.
There was
it.
A lot of stuff going on in that too.
I myself am looking forward to the Star Trek movie so much that it might be my most eagerly awaited movie of the summer.
Not Bruno? Bruno's definitely.
Oh, that's
mine.
True. Bruno's up.
Did you guys see the Red Band trailer?
No, I haven't.
It was really good. So there's a new trailer for anyone out there.
For genre type of films, the tentpole type films.
The tent pole in your pants.
Star Trek, yes, that's the story of my life. That might be the movie I'm looking forward to most. Jared, would you concur?
I'm very much looking forward to it. I wish I could get Angie to be more interested in it, but she's kind of in the classic Star Trek camp that a lot of people are in.
I didn't know she even likes Star Trek.
She's a big Star Trek fan, but she's more a Next Generation person, but she just doesn't. She sees the trailer and says, "This doesn't feel like Star Trek at all. I'm not really interested."
It's way more action-y than I kind of view Star Trek, but I don't. That's fine with me. I don't like Star Trek.
All the movies are action-y though. The movies are always different than the shows.
I guess
there's a more of a cerebral.
I guess
thing.
I don't remember it, but you know what? I actually was the one where the Klingon had that cloaking ship. Was that a good one or a bad one?
That was six.
Is that six?
Yeah.
Oh, so that was a bad one. It's an even, right?
Six is good. Aren't the evens are good. Oh. Evens are good.
Okay, it's the odds that are bad. Okay, because that's the only one I remember well, and I liked it so. And I guess there was a decent amount of action in that, like snipers and explosions. Okay.
A lot of explosions. We'll have to get into our summer movie preview. That's something I got to write down as a note, because that'll be coming up very soon. Summer.
Yeah, because summer starts in May now, May 1st for Star Trek.
Our next episode may have to be a summer preview.
I think
we can't.
What do you guys think about the Wolverine leak?
I think it was probably one of the best things that could have ever happened to him. That suddenly they have this buzz.
Did you watch it?
No.
I downloaded it. I haven't watched it yet.
I don't really have any interest in watching it, but
like Hugh Jackman was talking about it, and he was like almost crying when he was sob singing. He was dancing to "I'm Still Standing." So
here's the thing: that the film essentially had no buzz. It's weeks away from being released, and there was no.
Have
buzz
you seen
for
the trailer for it?
And the thing,
I thought the trailer for it looked amazing.
I thought so too.
The things I've heard about it,
it's bad,
not good.
Right?
They've messed up the mutants and that sort of thing.
So now the question is: was the leak intentional? Did they want to get some feedback prior to it and then go make some changes? I don't know, but I mean, suddenly there people are talking about it. So
I mean, you know what? But you know what? The biggest buzz part was when the dude got fired for reviewing it.
The guy who works for Fox, dummy.
So that almost makes me think that they leaked it on purpose. They saw it wasn't like there wasn't any mainstream buzz about it, and then this guy writes it like, "Sweet, let's fire him. That'll get some.
That'll
buzz.
Get people talking about it."
We used buzz too much in that conversation, but.
Well, all I know is the last X-Men movie sucked donkey.
I think they've all been
crotch.
Pretty mediocre.
I think the second one was better, but. I think that Wolverine needs to step up to the plate, make it happen. But I'm just not that excited about it.
It's tough that there's you know so many stories you could tell, and how can it be that hard to make a film, honestly? So, but they managed to screw it up time and time again.
They have
these established characters.
Makes me sick.
Off the mic.
Water break.
Yeah.
So there we go. I think that let's wrap it up.
That's
guys.
Probably enough for one show. Yeah.
I don't know if we have any more questions we can use at a later date, but I'll go through my notes and check it out. But as always, listeners, send in your listener questions, and we can make this a regular bit, because I think this
is... Also, send us brownies.
We love brownies, not special ones, except those go to Adam. So there
so
we
I
go.
Can develop my drug problem.
Exactly.
That Jared's been begging for years.
That will make the show interesting.
I really want just the his attempts to recover from his drug problem. That's what I'm waiting for. The drug problem itself isn't that interesting.
No. It's the aftermath, what comes out of it.
Exactly. Once his life has completely spiraled out of control.
Mandy's left me, like Daner.
Yeah. That's what I want.
Daner.
Adam's packed out about 150 pounds.
Oh, my goodness. I don't even want to see it.
He's losing his hair.
He loves Hawaiian Punch. So, everybody, episode
it's
70.
It's fruit juice. It's healthy.
Right, right.
Episode 70 of The Scope pushes on with Scope Sounds.
Right.
It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Yeah, my exploitation of the South by Southwest website for free music continues. This is the Von Bondies with This Is Our Perfect Crime, and it's really freaking loud, and I have to talk over it. But anyway, I hope you enjoy it, and I'm going to continue to play some of these songs as we go forward. You know how it is. I like to kill time. Check it out later.
Are coming to you, not live, but we're coming to you. This is episode 70, and Adam, I'm not sure if you're doing, I don't sure if this is the 70th edition of the news, but I'd probably say six in the low 60s.
It's not the 70th okay. time I've done it, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
This is the 8th time. That's all.
Right. I'm still new at this, guys, so give me a break. Raw.
News is first in the under the scope, so let's do some news. I felt the news last week was particularly strong.
I'll have to go back and listen to it. I'm sure I'll really do that.
Jared, would you agree?
It was a good time.
It was a good news segment. Okay. You weren't even missed.
You guys
some of the
not
comments.
Even do news? Is that how that went?
We did news. Okay. We had great stories. We had insightful commentary, some great follow-up news, and yep.
And wow. Some comedy.
Knocked it out of the park.
I bet one of my stories alone will destroy last week's news. But
we monkeyed around with the format a little bit.
We were monkeying.
You guys all have to guess which story bests yours.
Okay.
All right. So it's not the first one. I'll give you that hint. It's not the last one. And I only have three stories. All right, so the first one.
Right on.
I like this show. They're awesome.
Arachnophobia. This is kind of the media hype these past few weeks about...
people are scared?
People are scared of spiders and Barack Obama. So
yes.
This arachnophobia, it's a diagnosed clinical fear of black men being in power. So people like Sean Hannity, Michelle Bachmann, and Glenn Beck, who...
Michelle Bachmann and her freaky lady balls.
One of my favorite things months ago was how Jared would Twitter or Facebook about his hatred for Glenn Beck because I really dislike the guy. But you know, like I don't think I really ever talked about it to anyone, and so just to see Jared be like, I can't stand this guy. But like you would keep watching him for whatever reason.
Probably I wouldn't watch him. I just happened
on The Daily Show or on Colbert, like they would show
him. In our break room at work, the only news channel we have on the satellite TV is Fox News.
Yeah.
Really? That's strange.
And so around 4 o'clock or whatever is when his show is on, and I would if I go in there to get water or a snack or something.
Or go in for his 3 hour break that he often has.
Glenn Beck will be on there and inevitably he'll say something that just enrages me. I mean, literally within 15 seconds he has my blood boiling. I don't know what it is. Yeah. But
I do know
what it is. He's a conceited asshole.
Well, I mean, and here's what it is. Like, all the guys on Fox News are like really good internet trolls. I mean, they're really, really good.
That's how they hired them.
People up. Yeah. So anyway, so a lot of this was summarized by Jon Stewart this week. So Jon Stewart took on people speaking crazy about power a few nights ago. Michelle Bachmann, representative from the northern suburbs of the Minneapolis-St. Paul area.
The great state of Minnesota.
Recently said that President Obama is going to put our children in re-education camps. Sean Hannity congratulated her for her crusade against tyranny. Jon Stewart followed a clip that we're going to play a part of in a second with a litany of moves by the Bush administration made to reduce American freedom, transparency, and states' rights, and said the pair were confusing tyranny with losing, which I thought was a really good point. So Jared's going to play a clip.
Jared's setting it up.
Yeah. Here we go.
Welcome back to the show. When Barack Obama ran for president, he campaigned on a platform that included affordable health care, raising taxes on those making $250,000 a year or more, pulling back from Iraq, reasserting ourselves in Afghanistan, and major reinvestment in energy technologies and education. And since being elected, he has moved, sometimes with speed, sometimes with caution in those directions, or, to put it another way,
there's a road to tyranny, and I believe we're headed on that road.
Fascism is coming. Intimidation is yet another part of the slow erosion of our liberties.
They want the population to surrender their liberties to the government.
You're in very dangerous water to the freedoms that exist in this country. They're controlling your life.
Yeah, that would be my favorite Glenn Beck.
Controlling your life. So this week,
they've started
these things called tea parties,
I have a good clip for that if you want it.
Okay, which are it's this movement called tea stands for tax enough already, and it's
I didn't realize it was an acronym.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. And it's people having these fake revolts against Barack Obama, raising taxes on rich people. You know what this really goes back to, and I'm amazed that it happened, but the Joe the Plumber thing. I mean, you know who created that? I mean, that was Obama's creation, right? Because he actually did that little back and forth with him before he became famous. Mm-hmm. And like, this is what's come from it. This idiot, that won't just go away and has a book coming out. So yeah.
Is it about how to repair my toilet?
Well, now he's not actually a plumber. Remember that?
Oh, that's right.
So here, I'll read the last thing I thought was really funny, and then if Jared has that clip, we can play that. But
yeah.
So there's one more thing. Andrew Breitbart, he's the guy that does most of the actual Drudge Report stuff now. He went on Sean Hannity's show and blamed Obama for his kids' school using the term Potato Day instead of St. Patrick's Day recently. Stewart pointed out that this request probably didn't come from Obama himself, and that Potato Day is, in all actuality, way more offensive sounding than St. Patrick's Day. So
good stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right. That's all I got.
Okay. So in reference to the tea parties coming up, there's this clip that's been going around the internet called the Teabag Party.
Yeah.
And we're going to play that.
And now a message from the silent majority. Hello, Patriots, and welcome to Teabag Central, where we anxiously await the arrival of April 15th, when teabagging parties will break out across this wonderful land of
This
ours.
Is the real guy, right?
Towards that end, we'd like to clarify something.
I don't know.
When we decided to have teabagging parties, we were referring to the actions of great patriots at the Boston Tea Party.
Okay, this isn't him.
And it's since come to our attention that teabagging refers to putting your testicles in someone's mouth. Had we known that, we probably would have gone a different way with this whole concept. Too late now. We registered the domain name. I took off work, and Kinko's won't give us money back on the flyers. We're doing this. Patriots, we exhort you. Do not allow this to affect your participation in or appreciation of National Teabagging Day. At your teabagging parties, refrain from picturing Rush Limbaugh sticking his sweaty testicles in Glenn Beck's mouth.
Oh, no.
Or Michelle Malkin's. Or Sean Hannity getting teabagged somehow by Michelle Bachmann's freaky lady balls. Do not imagine that. Remain awesome. Focused like a laser beam on our very important, very serious teabagging message.
There was a guy that was
and
on...
this is just the beginning for our movement.
Hold on, we're almost there.
Summer, all right. When we'll have the grand festival in honor of conservative icon John Fingerbang. Mom, stop laughing. You said you'd stay out of the basement when I was doing important revolution stuff.
Okay.
There was a guy on Fox News who was dressed up like Paul Revere who had bags of tea that he was, you know, like Lipton tea. And he kept saying teabag over and over and over again. So that's what I thought that was.
No.
Yeah,
I brought the comedy.
One last political type thing just to mention. There's this stupid Defense of Freedom Act stuff. So Iowa, gay marriage is legal or will be in 3 weeks in Vermont. So everyone's freaking out about it. Or, you know, all
the world is crumbling around us.
The haters be freaking out. So there's this movement to start having ads on TV talking about how it's, you know, we have to defend marriage from sodomites, I guess.
People like you.
No, let me see if you can answer this because I'm a little confused.
Okay.
If the gays can marry, does that mean all, I guess, quote unquote, traditional marriages are now void?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Well, then I guess I understand the outrage then.
Yes, okay. Exactly. And the gays get to take your stuff.
Oh.
They just come into your...
In your house, and they say
they replace it with delicate fabrics.
Right. Will they make it more fabulous?
They say, right, they say this is fabulous, and then they get to take it. That's what they get to do. So anyway,
these are the things they don't cover these on the news.
The group that's behind these advertisements has it's called the it's called like the Two Marriage Four Marriage Act. I don't know some sort of thing, but anyway, their abbreviation for it is 2M4M, and it's on their website and everything. So. Which is funny because M for M, like in personals, is
male
for male.
Male for male.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So it's, I don't know.
I thought you were talking threesomes there.
Good stuff. Female. He's bringing it.
All right. Anyway, we always talk about video game consoles and how they're doing for some reason.
Always.
I don't really know why we do this. But manufacturing costs of the Wii, it's down 45% since launch.
So what does that mean?
They think that...
price drop?
No.
Of course not, Jared.
It's still, free Wiis and boxes of Lucky Charms?
It's still almost like sold out all the time. So
that's not true anymore.
Almost, I said.
I see it everywhere I go now.
Right, but their demand is almost
one case.
It's almost like a 1-to-1 percentage now of demand to supply. So they think that it costs Nintendo $137 American to make a system, and they sell them still for $250-ish.
Yeah.
So they're making almost a... double profits, a full 100% profit on the Wii's almost. Meanwhile, no one's still completely sure how much Sony's making, and with Microsoft's huge write off on the Red Ring of Death recall stuff, they're definitely still behind.
I don't know if you have this information in your block of news text there, but I think last month the PlayStation 3 outsold the Wii in Japan.
Yes, but they think that's because of two specific games that came out. They don't expect it to continue.
Okay, well, we'll keep our eyes on that, Jared.
Yeah, Resident Evil 5 and one other one that came out in Japan, they don't think that'll keep
going. Make a note of that, Jared. Put it on your Google calendar.
Jot, write, scribble.
Done.
Next up, 40% of Australian women wear a bra with a cup size of double D or bigger.
Hello. He's got our news stories beat with that one.
Is that because they're storing their cans of Foster's beer in them?
Yes. That's where they keep their Wallerbees.
In the 1950s, most common bra cup size was a B, three sizes less than a double D. Modern breasts are getting so large that some bra companies have introduced cup sizes as high as K,
the Sunday
Telegraph reports. Experts blame the cleavage boost, I love that that's the term, on obesity, contraceptive pills, and artificial hormones. So that's a
Well, obesity would be an easy one to see.
Mostly obesity.
Yeah. Meyer lingerie buyer lady said that double D plus bras have grown from about 20% of sales to 28%. Just the past 5 years.
Does that disturb you at all, Adam? I mean, or do you like this?
It makes me do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good thing I had the low cutting edge on the microphone. It helps. Might have been too much bass.
Yeah. So there's no pictures on the story, unfortunately.
Dang it. I was asking for a link.
You actually have to get on a plane, I guess, to go see that.
Next up, Domino's accidentally gives away 11,000 free pizzas last week.
Really? I heard about this.
To large-breasted Australians?
Yeah.
Domino's Pizza accidentally gave away 11,000 free pizzas because of a never-used promotion that a web customer stumbled upon. Tim McIntyre, spokesman for Domino's, said Wednesday that the company had prepared an internet coupon for an ad campaign that it considered in December but never activated. Someone found out that if you use the word bailout for the coupon code, you got a free medium pizza with no other things you don't need to order.
No strings attached.
NSA, yes. The information quickly spread Monday nights on the web.
Imagine Imagine the internet spreading that sort of
until
thing.
Like a conficker worm, it spread.
Yeah, was deactivated Tuesday morning. One owner of 14 Domino's locations in the Cincinnati area says his stores gave away more than 600 pies, but was told that Domino's would reimburse him for
the
pizzas.
They were told with air quotes. Yeah.
That's kind of old-timey calling a pizza a pie, isn't it?
You want to go halves on a pie?
Yeah, no, never say that.
All right.
That's not a Minnesota thing.
No. Two stories, two left. Lucasfilm still not paying the original Darth Vader actor.
What?
David Prowse, the English actor who played but did not voice Darth Vader in the first three Star Wars films, recently told Equity magazine that he has yet to receive any of the residuals he's owed for Return of the Jedi because Lucasfilm claims the film has not yet made a profit.
What?
The quote from the actor says, I get these occasional letters from Lucasfilm saying that we are going to inform you that as Return of the Jedi has never gone into profit, we've got nothing to send to you. It's probably not what the actual letter says, but it's what the quote says. Meanwhile, Box Office Mojo puts a lifetime take at $475 million, not including the $88 million it made on its re-release in 1997. With a production budget of $32.5 million, Lucasfilm is able to get away with the deal because, like most actors, it's for the net profit rather than the gross profit. As a Slash Film commentator points out, unfortunately, Mr. Prowse relates what is almost universally the case with a net profit clause. Studios almost never pay on these, as they claim nearly any and every expense possible to keep the film from showing an actual profit. So
if you ever are in a film,
get a gross, not a net. Very few films have ever shown a net profit on the books.
So, name one film.
I don't.
Young Einstein. Thank you.
All right.
Awesome film.
Finally, this is kind of a funny one.
The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai. Yeah, strangely enough,
yeah. How to tell if a movie is going to suck. Did you know that the number of helicopters in a trailer is directly proportional to its suckiness?
Wow.
Hey,
no helicopters in Star Trek.
None.
Exploding helicopters.
Buckaroo Banzai 8.
Exploding helicopters add to this exponentially. So, some past examples.
Broken, Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Broken Arrow. Yeah, but Die Hard is one of these, but we'll go in order. Broken Arrow.
Free or Die. That's one.
Broken Arrow. Yeah. Nine helicopters, one exploding.
Oh, my.
Shooter. That's eight helicopters. Ultraviolet.
Shooter was not good.
Four helicopters. Die Hard with a Vengeance. One helicopter.
Blue Thunder.
What about Die Hard, Live Free or Die? The police car launching into a helicoper and exploding.
And exploding. Bad Boys 2, three helicopters.
Oh, my goodness.
Dante's Peak, a volcano movie, three helicopters.
Oh, my. Any exploding
Well, that's how you get to the top.
Did the they volcano wreak vengeance upon one?
The volcano started moving.
Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer has two helicopters. One that's about to explode. Mm. And finally, my favorite
it sort
one.
Sort of bulges.
Batman Forever. Only one helicopter, but it explodes twice. So, looking at movies coming out this year, what might we expect? Well, Wolverine has three helicopters.
It does.
One of which is exploding.
Oh, he's launching himself into the helicopter.
Bad news. Bad
and
news.
Terminator Salvation also has three helicopters with one exploding.
That one looks so kick-ass.
It's a little worrisome.
Jared, it is worrisome. The helicopter quotient. That's what we're going to call that.
I'm going to start basing my decisions upon the number of helicopters. I will watch trailers ahead of time, and if there's too many helicopters, I'm out.
How many helicopters in Bruno?
None. There you go.
One toy, one up his anus. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. He doesn't have the Borat accent. You know, Mandy and I started watching. She's never seen the Ali G show before. We started watching it last night. She loved it. It's really
good
fun.
Stuff.
I haven't seen it for years, so it's fun.
Never watched it.
Got it on DVD if you're interested.
You're out of touch, Jared.
Maybe. I never had HBO. So
that's it for the news.
Well, you know, we don't have this on DVD, but we do have it on CD. It's our music reviews.
You have it on CD? I didn't burn a CD.
Like, what I've already said is on CD already?
Yep, it's already out there.
Jared?
Yeah.
Press play.
Adam, please read your text about this review.
We are reviewing Kingdom of Rust, which is the fourth studio album from the Manchester-based indie rock band Doves.
Yeah.
Like Shane said before, not the Doves. Came out earlier in April in both the UK and in the US. I'm just seeing what I want. I don't want to read this whole thing, so I'm just going to have silence instead.
Self-censure.
Compelling radio.
The album.
We missed you last week.
Was preceded by the first single, Kingdom of Rust, which came out a week before the album. I've never heard of the band, but here is a clip from that single, Kingdom of Rust, from the album, Kingdom of Rust. Did you know that this is the, it's the fourth album, it's actually the first one since Some Cities, which was released 4 years ago in 2005.
I think we might have reviewed that on the show, actually.
There's no way we did that.
No.
You sure?
No, not a chance.
Four years ago? No, that was, we've only been doing this 3 years, Shane.
Oh. Come on.
Oh, we're entering our fourth year. So
you might have practiced.
When I did the pre-scope, the alpha scope,
right.
I did it. I did
when
this
you were
episode.
Doing, when you're doing Shane's scope alone.
Yeah.
According to a post on the band's official blog, the band recorded the album in a converted farmhouse in Cheshire, England.
I like how Adam went to their website to get information on this.
Yeah, Wikipedia doesn't have any of this information. lots of people star on the album, including Dan Austin and Tom Rowlands of the Chemical Brothers, who does the song arrangement for one of the tracks.
Well, it's not something.
Here's a clip from the only track that I, Adam, am even the least bit fond of, House of Mirrors. Cracks up in the ceiling. Shadows coming my way. And your house is full of mirrors. Echoes in the alleyway. Footsteps in the hall. And this house is full of mirrors. And your house is full of mirrors. That's it. Shane, why don't you...
No, why don't you start, since you hated it so much?
I just found it boring. I don't know.
Back to you, Jared.
I don't understand.
Thank you for coming.
You know, before Jared said this on his Facebook page, I said I told, I don't know if it was Mandy or I just said it out loud to hear myself talk, but I said, I'm really upset that we're reviewing this and not the AAA's new album, to which then Jared, a few days later, had the exact same thing on his, or similar, type quote on his Facebook.
Well, we'll review the Yeah Yeah Yeahs the next time, son of a bitch.
I almost...
Wow. Remember you show up for the shows, you can suggest what we review. Until then, play along.
I'm out of here.
He's done. He's done.
Yeah, who's going to read Coming Soon Now?
Yeah, who's going to read it?
Jared is.
All right.
Oh, shit. Really?
Okay, so I don't know. I don't know who they are, so I was like, whatever. This is boring.
Okay, fair enough. Jared? Give us an alternate opinion.
I was kind of in Adam's camp on the first listen, and that's when
it. Go to Shane.
That's when I did my Twitter/Facebook update of saying that I liked it less than the IIS. But on the second and third listen, I started to come around on it. I liked it much, much more. I like the arrangements. I like the mix of the kind of reverb-y live acoustic instrument sound with the electronic elements mixed in. I thought that was really interesting to my ear. And for me, I think the song I liked the most on the album was Spellbound. But overall, you know, I haven't listened to Dubs in years. Mm-hmm. I think I had their first album. Didn't get 2 and 3, and now we're listening to 4 here. So
their second one is a ridiculously good album.
Okay.
Ridiculously
good. I may need to go and check that out. But
I went back and listened to tracks like our videos on YouTube, and I couldn't recognize any of them. So
I think that you'd have to sort of have heard of them via The Current, or I mean they predate The Current.
A couple
so.
Of the tracks sounded like they might be ones that were in movies, like either on soundtracks or in certain scenes that kind of seemed familiar.
I could find a couple of songs that you might have heard, but there's no reason for you to know of them unless you happen to be exposed and then search them out from there.
So yeah, for me it was I had to spend some time with it to like it, but I came around.
I kind of had the same problem with this album as I did with U2's last album, which was, or their newest album, which is, I like the sound of it. I liked the fact that they put the time into it to make it sound really good, but it didn't have quite enough of that hook for me for the songs. They seemed to meander a little bit. The Dove,
they're definitely not tight pop songs.
No, the Doves, some of their previous work, they are just these big anthem-like songs, you know, things that, you know, you think of some of U2's big hits or Coldplay, stuff like that. That's where that's their bread and butter. And this album shied away from that a little bit. So I was a little disappointed by that. That being said, I'm with Jared. I like the arrangements of the album. I like how it sounds. There's a few good songs in there. I thought that Jetstream song, that first one, seemed a little bit of a New Order rip off the vocals. I mean, because they don't normally sound like that, and also sound a little bit like the lead singer of Tears for Fears, or one of them. So you'd think that I would like that, but no, not so much. But overall, you know, I think a fairly strong 3 or 4 songs starting it out, and then from there it was a little bit all over the place. But it grew on me as I went through it over and over and over again. That's all I have.
You're very dedicated.
I am. So next week, yeah, but now... A score.
Big baby.
The Scope score is 2 stars.
I didn't have something picked for next show, Adam, but now we do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's go coming soon.
Right.
Pew, so, pew, 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 pew. That's what laser guns or small boobs firing laser guns sound like.
The boob laser gun.
Not to be seen in Australia, Shane.
No.
No. They only have... There's no. A boom,
those are
boom,
cannons.
Boom, boom.
Howitzers. Howitzers.
Recoil.
All right.
What's coming soon?
What is coming soon? Music. April 14th. All right. I hope that plays each time I start this.
Just the
once. All right. This coming Tuesday, The Boy Least Likely To. This is their second album, probably?
I think so, yeah. Okay. So you're familiar with them, but not Doves?
Yeah. I'm not familiar with them. Like, I don't know if I ever heard any of their songs.
It's almost like preschool-type songs. It's very... like kids' songs, almost.
Not like Junior Senior? Because Junior Senior...
No. Okay. You should go to iTunes and give it a listen.
Okay.
I think you'd be like, what the F is this? But,
but it's pop. Like adults listen to it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Coming next week. Coming soon.
Fastball, really?
Yeah.
Fastball has a new album?
Yeah, Jared will be getting that.
Weird.
Really? yes, you will be.
Do they have a song with just one verse?
Silver Sun Pickups. Did you guys listen to this album last year?
The first one, yeah.
The one from last year. You know, at first I really only liked that one song that was on the radio and all that. But they reminded me of a very Siamese Dream Smashing Pumpkins.
All they do is get compared to '90s. They're supposed to be the bringers back of that '90s sound.
And I am perfectly fine with that. I don't know what this new album's going to sound like, but I liked that album a lot. It grew on me. Yeah. It kept getting better.
There's a couple songs on there that I really, really like.
I was impressed. April 21st, continuing the '90s trend, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy will have a album coming out. Now, it's a really long title, and I don't know if this is a best of, but it's called How Big Can You Get? The music of Cab Calloway.
Sounds like they're doing covers of Cab Calloway.
All right.
Sweet.
They were just on Dancing with the Stars.
All right. Depeche Mode has a new album, Jane's Addiction. And this is not the original.
Wait, this
Jane's
is
Addiction.
All 90s, isn't it?
It's not the original Jane's Addiction because the bassist will never be there. It's Flea, but it's an almost original Jane's Addiction. So for fans of them. Lucuna Coil?
Yeah.
I don't know. Sounds like an Evanescence type band.
Could be.
Tinted Windows and Rick Ross.
Now, have you heard about Tinted Windows? They're like this super group that has the lead singer of Hanson and then a couple other guys from other bands that are out there, and they played at Southwest.
We need to define super groups.
Well, I mean, everyone in there.
It's an all-star team
Everyone in that band you've heard of before. Okay. And the Hanson kid is like the oddball of the bunch. But. Right. The rest of them,
the guys from like death metal bands.
No. They're sort of poppy bands. But I didn't cut.
Let me ask
paste
you guys
that.
A question. Do you guys listen to Lil Wayne's album from last year?
No.
The Carter. No. I just downloaded it, and it's okay.
Legally,
right on iTunes. $1.29 each track.
gone up.
It's gone up. I was just wondering. Because his new album this year is supposed to be rock based. But like whenever rappers come out with rock albums, they're still rap albums, I think. I'm always a little suspicious.
They're not singing.
No.
They're rapping over rock.
Then again, there's a lot of rock singers that don't sing either, so that's
very true.
That's okay. Movies, April 17th, 17 again, where harried man. What's that mean?
Sort of frazzled, maybe?
Okay. Yeah.
Played by Matthew Perry, turns into his 17-year-old self. Zac Efron. Really? Matthew Perry looked like Zac Efron when he was 17? Is that the implication we're getting here?
Well, we've seen Matthew Perry when he was 17 on TV, and he did not look like Zac Efron. What do you think Matthew Perry's thinking? That he's playing Zac Efron's dad?
Yeah.
A 17-year-old. He's thinking, oh my goodness. Wake up, Jared.
So this is...
Party time.
This is like Vice Versa?
Yeah, I think maybe it actually... I think it is a remake of like the Dudley Moore, Kurt Cameron...
So does Zac Efron become the dad? Do they actually switch?
No, they don't switch. Uh-oh.
My mom's calling me.
Put her on.
She doesn't know I do
speaker
this show.
Speakerphone.
She thinks he's at the soup kitchen right now.
I think Matthew Perry just gets younger. Okay. That's what he does. No swapping.
So
it's
big. It's a remake
of kind
big.
Of a big, yeah. But there's no special fortune-telling machine.
It's not. It's the opposite of big. So it'd be, shit.
No, right. He gets younger. No, in big, he gets older. That's right. Okay, all right. We're really struggling.
Are we still doing the show?
You were thinking of the end
of Big. Is this the after show? I'm confused.
You were thinking of the end of Big when he gets younger.
Yeah.
All right. Crank, High Voltage. Now, did you guys see Crank?
Yes.
No.
I thought that was a great movie.
It was crazy.
I mean,
I loved
it was stupid, but it was really good. So I actually think, Jason Statham definitely knows the character that he's supposed to play. Yeah. And so I hope
for more fucking in the streets.
What? Yeah. There's effing in the streets?
Yeah.
Well, he's got to keep his heart going.
Right. Whatever it takes.
Wow.
I thought that
sex in public, Shane.
This and what was that one that...
How did that end? How did he had this heart problem?
I think didn't he fall off a building or something and hit... I forget. Yeah.
He lived. That's how it ended.
Okay.
Sorry to spoil it, everyone. Anyway, so this is a sequel to that. I won't see it in the movie theater or anything, but
no.
I think it'll be a rental. State of Play, continuing the trend of three random words to...
Is that the new group from former Kid and Play member, Play?
Right. This is the Russell Crowe, Ben Affleck, Rachel Adams movie.
Ben Affleck. It sounds like some sort of drug from Pfizer.
I know.
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck. Consult your doctor before taking. Common symptoms include bowel illness and my mom is now leaving me a voicemail. There it is.
Let's play that on the show at the
end. It's gonna be about me coming out there in a couple weeks.
Weren't you just out there?
Yeah, but I have another district in Dinwiddie County.
Oh, I can hear a little
he's
bit
actually listening to nice.
He's pushing buttons, Jared.
You guys all know my password now. Let's not do that. All right.
Here it comes.
Put it to the front.
Hi, put it up to the front, Adam.
I emailed you a couple of times to let you know I got the computer.
Oh, it's in the front?
My great book program disc, however, is still, you know.
This is really boring, guys. All right, I'll listen to that later. Right.
That's great.
She got a new laptop. So there's an update for everyone.
Good to know. Awesome.
That could have been something. I think we can turn that into something.
Let's
I don't
see.
Know.
It's one of those moments where we didn't quite come up with a bit on the fly.
Yeah, I'll say.
It's a shame. We're just not witty enough, I guess. April 24th.
Well, mom isn't witty enough.
Oh. Last show, we were very witty.
She should have been like, what's up, homo? That would have been pretty funny.
I just shot a squirrel.
April 24th, Earth. This is the documentary.
Adam, you left your latex underwear at the house.
Your mom is Hank Hill, by the way.
Documentary following Adam. Three animal families as they make their way across the Earth, which I'd be interested to see. The last movie like this that I saw was that penguin one, which was really
March
depressing.
Of the Penguins.
Yeah, which I don't know if you guys saw. That was depressing. It's got like babies dying and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Nice. It happens all the time in nature.
Obsessed, which I haven't seen anything about, but this is the Beyonce Ali Larter catfight movie.
The movie people have been screaming, the pairing the internet's been screaming for.
Yeah, of course.
Beyonce Ali Larter.
What?
Hot off of her Heroes stardom.
Death. Yeah. Oh, sorry if I spoiled that. She's no longer on that show. She's dead.
I don't
Heard.
Watch it.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it.
I probably killed her two seasons ago.
Well, there's a long story with that. So then
we'll talk off air.
And The Soloist, the Jamie Foxx, Robert Downey Jr. movie. Which I actually saw a thing on 60 Minutes about the real versions of them, which were way more compelling, I thought, than the terrible trailer for this.
Yeah. How does that compare to the Real Housewives of New York City, is it?
I think it's of Atlanta right now.
Okay.
DVD, April 24th. Skins, Volume 2.
Real Housewives
2.
Of I Don't Give a Shit.
The Spirit. Did you guys see The Spirit?
Neither one either.
Universally bad is what I've
heard. Yeah. Knots Landing, Season 2.
That's
and
for you.
House of Saddam. April 21st, Caprica. What's that, the movie?
Pilot will be out, and then the show actually won't be out until next year.
Frost Nixon, The Wrestler.
It's a big week in a few weeks.
Yeah, Notorious. Yeah, big week. Get it, big. Notorious.
I planned it. Planned it just that way. Oh.
And Rhoda, Season 1.
And Rhoda. I like how you perked up with Rhoda.
Video games, week of April 12th, Samurai Showdown Anthology. Remember when Samurai Showdown was like one of the big fighter games?
That was
games?
A Neo Geo game, wasn't it?
I think it then came out for the Genesis also.
Yeah. That changed everything.
This one's for you, Shane. Rock Band Green Day. You'll be excited about that.
I don't remember putting that on the list.
You didn't. I wrote it on there.
Oh, okay.
Dynasty Warriors Gundam 2. For the PS2. That's like combining two games together.
Spit it out.
A new game for
PS2? Two games. Yeah.
Have I ever mentioned how when I used to play Where in Time is Carmen Sandiego, I thought that Dynasty was pronounced Dynasty.
Adam's going to do the Dynasty. Yeah. Dynasty Season 1 coming out on DVD.
I remember like I would repeatedly ask my mom, because Where in Time and Carmen Sandiego has a lot of stuff about like ancient Chinese dynasties and stuff. And so I'd ask my mom repeatedly, Mom, what's Dynasty mean? And she'd be like, it's Dynasty.
What does it have to do with Joan Collins?
You're not my son. Help me with my computer.
The Godfather 2.
Mm-hmm.
Jelly Belly, which is the long-awaited follow-up to A Boy in His Blob, hopefully.
Jelly Belly.
Do you remember A Boy in His Blob?
Yeah.
You'd feed him jelly beans and he'd do different things. And ExciteBots, Trick Racing for the Wii. Is that like ExciteBike?
I think it is.
Okay.
Look at her. Adam's done. He just threw his papers down, Jared. It's over, Johnny.
Good to know.
Close it up.
I can't snap. Let's try now.
Under the scope.
Bring it home, Senior Gerard.
I'm not old. I always expect you to have a little more lead up to that before the fade out, but it's rough. We're still working out the kinks here.
It's only been 70 shows.
This is the part of the show where we read your comments that you've probably already read because you wrote them. But we're going to read them anyway.
We're going to do witticisms with them.
Cyrus says, hey, great show, guys. I love it when I see the name of an episode and it makes no sense whatsoever. But then its meaning is gloriously reviewed mid-show. And
that's how we do it.
Yes.
That's exactly how we do it.
Well, there you go. The rest of it I'm not going to read.
It's not good enough for the show.
He says, Adam, you're missed, though.
Yep, I know.
Someone misses you.
Okay.
I wrote it. I mean, duh.
That's a secret code name.
I'll look for another special episode title this week.
Okay, good.
Mike says, another great show. Didn't even really notice that Adam was missing.
That's I wrote that one, too, just to counter the Cyrus one. just so people wouldn't be on to me.
What was that ding?
I don't even know.
Did I do it? I might have.
I don't know.
No, it was something on my computer.
Okay.
Keith F. writes in. Keith F.'s getting a lot of coverage this show.
Keith is really, he's like a new member of the show.
I like it, though. He said, I love this episode. No joke, it was one of your best ones yet. And he apparently has gone back and listened to them all, Shane.
We know he's listened to episode 6.
And no, Shane, I'm not the Keith from Voltron, and I would love an attempt to hit the post. Now, to be fair, I'm the one who made the Voltron joke. Thank you.
You did make it. It was good.
Yeah.
May I call you Princess Allura?
All these hints about how great last week's episode was, and I still won't go back and watch it.
With all your airplane tripping. Keith wants to hit the post, so he must be in Minnesota.
Yeah?
Why?
Well, we need contestants.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of boring when you and I compete all the time.
Do you think we want to pull back the curtain, though, to see how we actually do this?
I've told you multiple times, if I'm drunk, I will hit the post.
Well,
so we have to do an evening or early morning.
What are you talking about? We have to do a Sunday.
You're still drunk through the night.
Brunch? I just...
We're going to do a Sunday drunken brunch, hit the post.
Nice.
Okay.
Steve writes, I thought my cat was the only one that would lock himself in the room. He's almost 2 years old, but that stupid bastard will go into the bedroom or the closet, and you'll hear the door slam shut. The only thing he has torn up is the carpet around the door, though. I haven't found any presents lying around. And by presents, I mean shit.
Did the cat... Oh, it was one of Shane's cats.
One of my stories, okay.
This was.
You missed it, Adam.
Turk, the giant beast of a cat.
Turk the jerk.
Mandy's roommate's cat has locked himself in the bathroom by... closing the door in the bathroom. No, they put him in the bathroom when they're trying to have quiet or whatever. And he
make love.
Opens, and it's a bathroom where it opens and immediately the sink and the vanity is immediately to the side.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's drawers on it. And so he was able to open the drawers so that when you try to open the door into the bathroom.
So how do they get it out?
So he locked the humans out of the bathroom.
He locked the humans out. Yeah.
Clever cat.
And the cat is dead.
Set up a new cat. Set up a new cat dominion.
I forget what they like. Got like a hanger and bent it around and were able to like keep the door closed enough to like.
That's very smart.
I would have just kicked the door down.
Yeah.
They were ready to take it off its hinges
or shoot it with a gun.
No, the hinges were on the inside.
Yeah, you couldn't get to it.
Never tackled the door off the hinges. Anyway,
I don't know.
Hey, if you've got a crazy cat story or want to write in and say how much you didn't miss Adam last week, you can send us an email, comments@thescopeshow.com.
I think after this week, they would agree that they've now realized how much they did miss me.
They do. They will. If you want to write and say how much you did miss Adam and how much you'd like for him to miss another show so you can continue to miss him.
Hi-oh.
Oh, that's right.
Email
comments@thescopeshow.com or just visit the site, comment on the blog. Or you can call our voicemail line, and that number is, I don't have it in front of me because I put my paper down, 646-495-9201, extension 70055. That's it. We got another iTunes review.
We did.
Positive one. We're up to 24 reviews now.
24 reviews.
What up? Keep those reviews coming, folks. We love them. Good or bad, we want them.
Keep
Shane
it writing.
Shane wants only good, but I want honest criteria.
I want 5 stars as well. You know, we're not, the only arrogant jerks here would be Adam. There's no doubt about that.
And I myself make up at least 2 of the stars. So if you're going to just grade down, just give us a 3-star. Right?
I'm not sure what he means.
He thinks a lot
of them.
If you don't like me. If he likes a lot of them.
I think if we're worth 2 stars each, so if you can hack the system and get a 6-star review in there, that would be awesome.
Just rank. Then you grade us down to a 5-star review. Because we started a 6-star.
Right on.
I like it.
I don't have any plugs. I'm not going to be anywhere exciting in the next 2 weeks, so...
I'm going to be in D.C. if anyone wants to hang out with me.
All right, and you are gonna have a big party tonight, a big rock band party.
That is true, Shane. Big party.
I'll
fire up a session here, and we can pop in and record stuff if the muse calls to us.
We can talk to Earl about his hatred of Star Trek.
So who knows? Maybe there'll be like an extra bonus episode of
and my I Love Party Man, Revelry poster that he's going to give me.
Very nice. So I want to thank Adam for showing up. I want to thank Jared for working very hard. Even if it's boring stuff. I don't want to thank...
I didn't work that hard.
I don't want to thank myself because I didn't do much. Episode 71 will be coming at you in a matter of weeks.
Yeah.
I think that might be a summer movie preview. It might be something else. But do expect a special guest to fire up his computer, stop in, talk. It'll be good time. So
25th. May not be here.
Uh-oh.
Just so you know.
Awesome. Well, maybe our special guest will have to do a little extra duties.
There we go. Okay, so everybody, this is The Scope for Jared, Adam, and myself. Thanks for listening. We will talk to you next time. Peace out.
Ladies and gentlemen, We find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
646-495-9201, extension 70055.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying,
Buenos dias.
Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope. Oh.